Deathbed confessions. What would be their prayers if they were not dying? Voltaire said, "The Bible is what fools have written, what imbeciles have commanded, what rogues teach, and young children are made to learn by heart." Friends, how many are there today who profess faith in Christ yet live their lives in service to the devil? Many act more like atheists than they do Christians. It has been said that the reason for atheism in the world is because of the hypocrisy in the church as a whole. I understand what is being said here, though it's not true, nor is it an excuse for critics to excuse themselves from hell, for they are just as guilty as those that they are criticizing. One such atheist just happened to be Voltaire. History tells us the story of the renowned atheist Voltaire, one of the most aggressive antagonists of Christianity. He wrote many things to undermine the church, and once said of Jesus Christ, "Curse the wretch. In 20 years, Christianity will be no more. My single hand will destroy the edifice it took 12 apostles to rear." He said Christianity would be swept away from existence and the Bible would pass into the obscurity of history. Yet, history teaches us, 50 years after his death in 1778, the Geneva Bible Society used his house and printing press to produce stacks of Bibles. Voltaire's house was used by the Geneva Bible Society as a distribution center for Bibles. Since Voltaire's death, millions of copies of the Bibles have been printed. The demand for Bibles obviously increases. The eternal book lives on while Voltaire's work have yet to reach a complete English edition. Well, needless to say, Voltaire was less than successful. On his deathbed, a nurse who attended him was reported to have said, "For all the wealth in Europe, I would not see another atheist die." The physician, waiting up with Voltaire at his death, said that he cried out with utter desperation, "I'm abandoned by God and man. I will give you half of what I am worth if you will give me 6 months of life. Then I shall go to hell and you shall go with me. O Christ, O Jesus Christ." Maybe Mr. Voltaire had forgotten that reason is the enemy of faith and that Christians walk by faith and not by sight. Regardless if most agree with what Voltaire had said or not, there is no doubt that 86% of Americans claim to be Christians, but live in direct contradiction of Scripture. "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Therefore, when you are born of the Spirit, you will do the things of the Spirit. They do not walk accordingly as Christ did, because they never repented of their sins. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, the selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. This all comes with working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, sanctification, under the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, and justification by faith." How foreign this is to most Christian professors in America today. They somehow believe that their church overseer is going to open the door for them to get into heaven. Boy, oh boy, are they sadly mistaken. I've had an older lady tell me that her children and grandchildren can live like the devil all week, but they better be in church on Sunday. That is often what is seen today. What's worse is those who believe that they're going to live their selfish little lives and somehow are going to end up in heaven. I don't know how they come up with this. It's not scriptural, friends. Furthermore, if these people were not dying, how many of them would continue on in their sins? Deathbed repentances are often overlooked as very sincere, although too frequently we fear they are but the first gnawing of the worm that never dies. A woman many years ago was condemned to death for murdering her child and was hung in the grass market at Edinburgh. She very diligently improved the 6 weeks allowed by the Scotch law previous to her execution and the ministers who were with her continually gave it as their opinion that she died in the sure and certain hope of salvation. The appointed day came, she was hung, but it being very rainy and no awning having been prepared, those who had the charge of her execution were in a great hurry to complete it.
Here we go.
With one heart and voice, we may prostrate ourselves at the throne of heavenly grace and present to our great benefactor sincere and unfeigned thanks for his infinite goodness and mercy towards us from our birth to the present moment, for having above all things illuminated us by the gospel of Jesus Christ, presenting to our view the happy prospect of a blessed immortality, and for our unparalleled ingratitude to the adorable being who has seated us in a land irradiated by the cheering beams of the gospel of Jesus Christ, let us fall prostrate before offended deity, confess sincerely and penitently our manifold sins and our unworthiness of the least of his divine favors, fervently implore his pardon through the merits of our mediator, Jesus Christ. Forefather and signer of the Declaration of Independence, Elbridge Gerry.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently,
"You shouldn't
rock the boat." Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Guess what Bradley's been up to? He was at the Minnesota State Fair last night, going over to Black Lives Matters, went over to Martha's Cookies, grabbed a bunch of cookies, and walked up and down the street with tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people at the Minnesota State Fair. Oh, by the way, there was only about 8 Muslims, folks. And yet the sheriff tried to scare you away from going to the Minnesota State Fair. I'll play that for you in a moment. But what was I doing? I was taking the time concerning the work of faith and a labor of love, because it's been bestowed upon me by the Holy Ghost who's been given unto me. It's called love, friends. Action speaks louder than words. I was up and down the streets grabbing cookies and then noticing young teenage boys from the hood that nobody wanted to talk to. I broke into their little company of 4 and 5 and asked them if they wanted a cookie. And when they did, I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And then what I did is I took the time to go over to the Black Lives Matters booth because I heard enough of it. So I went over there, offered them some cookies too. I wasn't trying to sweeten them up, friends. I was doing the neighborly thing. So I got some cookies, went over there, seemed like a hardened lady. And about 5 minutes later, she's laughing, thanking us, eating our cookies. Hey, folks, this is how we do it, right? This is what we're all called to do. I want to tell you what the problem is. Too many people are out there debating their doctrines without faith, without actions. And they sit in a chair all day, or they sit around the house all day, waiting to listen to the next preacher they can pick apart, rather than doing what it is that the Lord has commanded us all to do. Matthew 4:19, Luke 19:10, Mark 16:15. Okay, so what I did is I walked around to other vendors as well. And when I did that, friends, I was reaching out to the lost, to those that don't see the gospel, that don't see Christ. Well, the way they see Christ is by what we do. And what the Holy Ghost does through us in our actions. Faith without works is dead, friends. There's too many people out there that are just hearers only, deceiving themselves. And who are those people? Well, those are the ones that absolutely do nothing but complain about what everybody else is doing wrong while they sit there and do absolutely nothing but point the finger. That's exactly what's going on. But in the meantime, to add a little joy to the listeners, do understand, folks, this is where your life is found. Your life is found where you lose your life. When you cross the line and break into the lives of other men that are looking for answers, the same way that you claim to have the answers, they're looking for you to give the answers. And I'm talking to people that claim to be Christians. Fantastic time. Fantastic night, friends. I can't even tell you how many people we reached yesterday. We're out at the Minnesota State Fair right now, and with that said, we're on the bottom floor of the Minnesota Grandstand. That's where they play all the music. And we're on the east end, bottom floor, second row in. Minnesota Grandstand, east end, bottom floor, second row in. Come and say hello to us like so many others have. And I just want to tell you that it makes all the difference in the world when you take the time and pop up and say hello. Because it shows us that there's other people out there that are willing to do what it is that we're willing to do. And that's what we should all be doing. Again, those that call themselves Christians. I want to bring you over to a brand new video that Stephanie just made this morning. It's very laborious. It's very exhaustive. The 12 hours a day, 12 days in a row. But again, we've been doing this for 17 years. But I think you're going to get a pretty good idea of love in action right here. Here's Stephanie's brand new video.
Today's day 8. Of the Minnesota State Fair. I'm on my way to this big grandstand where our booth is. As you can tell, my voice is hashed, but we're here on the front line spreading the gospel. So join with me today in part 2 of what it's like to be at the Minnesota State Fair. And this is how big it is.
This is before it opens.
Here we are in aisle 3. From the neighbors, right next to Black Lives Matter. Here's our booth. Whoa. Sons of Liberty.
SonsOfLibertyMedia.com before it's news.com, top left side of the page.
We start the day every day this way. We come in and we get our fans in so we don't melt to death. And then we get things ready for the table.
Just highlighting what it is that's available on the store, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Store orders go out the very next day, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Check out the store. That's what she's highlighting right now on social media platforms. Also, check us out on SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. That's who we are and what it is that we've been doing for the last 30 years.
So that's a little behind the scenes for you. We do videos and, you know, we show fun things and goofy things that happen to us. But it is good for you to see behind the scenes because it is a lot of work. It's 12 hours a day for 12 days straight. But we're here spreading the gospel because not every person is going to set foot inside a church building or a conservative meeting, but they do come to the fair. So we're here being a light in a dark place, and why don't you enjoy these highlights?
She just made that this morning for folks, and she said she needed to do a part 2 so people could kind of get an idea as to what it is that they're in for if they do come down and visit us at the Minnesota State Fair. Again, what a huge opportunity for us. As Stephanie had just said on this little short video that she just highlighted for us, not everybody's going to step inside of a church. Well, guess what, friends? We're not called to wait for people to come inside of the church. We are the church, and we're called to go to the people. We're supposed to go outside and bear the reproach of Christ for his name and for his glory. Because why? Well, hey, let me answer that. Because we're not ashamed of the gospel, nor have we ever been ashamed of the gospel. I was highlighting this just the other day. Christ was crucified publicly. How dare any of you be ashamed of what he did for you publicly by dying as the propitiation of the sins of the world? We're called to the same road, friends, and I'm telling you what a huge opportunity it is to be at the Minnesota State Fair. Folks, you want to check us out online, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Again, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Social media platforms, left top every day, 2 to 3, that's me. Right is the morning show with Tim Brown, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Also, beforeitsnews.com, top left side of that page. Also, the right side with both shows posted, beforeitsnews.com as well. If you want to call in, do 281 845-4704. 281-845-4704. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hey, by the way, friends, this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct.
There are other people like us out here.
Hey, you wake up, wake up. Calling all filmmakers, actors, podcasters, writers, creators, and every believer in media. Do you need to be encouraged? Are you ready to get equipped? You need empowerment. I've got the solution for you. Welcome to the Content Media Conference. Welcome to content. God wants to use your content, yes, you, to spread the message of Christ. That's why God gave us content. Content changed my life and solidified my career. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to them.
Give me the community.
I get really overwhelmed by content. It changed my life.
Content is all happening here.
Come to these and I'm so encouraged.
These are my people. This is where I belong.
We've got funding
that opens so many doors.
I feel that it's possible to actually be in the filmmaking industry at such a young age.
The encouragement that's given to the young filmmakers. Go get them, Tiger.
Other people praying for you.
Worried about my media students having access to productions. They need to be working. Even the facility here has been amazing.
Yeah, I think you made up your mind. I'll see you at Cats.
ChristianMediaConference.com.
BBSRadio.com. At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Hi, my name's Tom Raymond of Tennessee. Retired Marine trooper and postal worker. My life's always been centered around service to God, family, and country. I've known Bradley Dean and his family for many years, fully supporting his work with teens especially, radio podcasts to include Sunday Church, and sonsofliberty.com website, chronicling Christian and geopolitical news. I hold Bradley up in prayer and financial support his mission.
And we appreciate it, my friend from Massachusetts. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, 281-845-4704, 281-845-4704. Listen, I wanted to highlight, we have Kim Norling. I don't know if you guys know who this guy is, but he's a famous painter, a famous artist. He's got a booth out as a vendor at the Minnesota State Fair as well. And interestingly enough, he had come over to the booth and he was talking about, you know, basically the hypocrisies that he sees from the people coming out of the building. And it's like, we get it. Hey, listen, nobody rebuked those hypocrites more than Christ. I mean, they say and they do not. Matthew 23, verse 3. I'm talking to many of you, by the way. Yeah. He goes, I just got a real problem with it. With Stephanie said, I'll tell you what, you get this book and then we'll get something from you. And she said, you're really going to like this book. The Children of the Apostate is a Prevention is Better Than Cure book, friends. And I also want to tell you, there's not a book that's more prophetically accurate as to what's going on in the United States of America right now. I'm not saying that bringing a accolade to myself. I'm saying that after I read it, after I was done writing it, I realized what the Lord wrote. And it's applicable to the United States of America as a prevention is better than cure. And so I'm sure this famous artist is going to appreciate it once he reads it. It's going to be like, yeah, we're on the same page here. so we can make distinction between the sheep and the goats. I hear more bleeding from the goats inside the building than I do from the sheep. And I know that you do too. And that's what we're here to stand against, friends, not just in the church, first and foremost, but also in politics as well. And how could it be otherwise when most of them don't even know the doctrine or the Constitution, right? Well, Jesus told us, case in point, in Mark 8:15, to beware of the leaven, the wicked doctrines of both parties. And it starts in the church, and then it goes into the governments, and it is in that order itself. Margie, calling from the state of Minnesota. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. What say you, my friend?
Hi, Brad Leary. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm just trying to maintain.
I bet you are. You've got to be exhausted.
A little bit,
you say,
yeah.
You know, you mentioned, yeah, I bet, a little bit. You mentioned the sheriff trying to scare the people away from the fair.
Yep.
And I have had an unbelievable, I'm seeing a turn in the people, Bradley, at work. I have been, this is kind of an extreme word, I was assaulted Sunday night at work. A man slapped my hand, got into my face because I was trying to help him because he couldn't figure out the AI computer. Had to call the cops.
Oh,
five cops came.
Okay.
I mean, and people, so we, and we were down two machines. I've since Saturday, and I worked just a couple last night, I've had probably six or seven people swearing at me. And, you know, they put this crap on our news feeds, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods,
yep.
You know, school shootings. Yep. You know, we had the shooting yesterday. And it's like, then on top of it, gas is rising. The groceries are out of control.
Yep.
You know, people aren't working, so we don't have enough staff. The people are really at a breaking limit. And I'm like, it's kind of blowing me away, Bradley. That guy, you know, my husband used this term. He had a short man's complex.
Oh, yeah.
I was as tall as he was, but you could tell he was a bodybuilder.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
In my face. He's in my face screaming at me.
Well, he didn't.
Get out of my way.
Hey, Margie, he had no idea who he was messing with. I mean, he was testing his steel. I know he was because he didn't know who he was standing up against. And it's a good thing.
Oh, Bradley, you should have seen him when I told him to leave.
Yeah.
And without his groceries, he couldn't even process his payment. Huh. And I had a line of people waiting, and not one man. They could see how he was berating me, came forth and said, hey, dude, enough.
Yeah.
Then one of the nighttime managers came in and I said, Tom, I said, could you help me with this guy? I'm not punched in yet. I'm like, huh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I just went to customer service, call the cops.
Yep.
Call the cops. This guy needs to leave.
Yep.
And the guy even argued with the cops.
Yeah.
I'm like, so.
Well, King David said it. Jesus said it. They're going to hate you without a cause. And they're also going to hate you for his namesake. Those that love the darkness, they hate the light. And a lot of times you don't even have to say anything. It's the anointing that's on you that's agitating their devils. And they're responding. Right. They're manifesting is exactly what's going on. It doesn't surprise me.
All I did was point to the picture. You're going to laugh. Of a green pepper to show him, there's your green pepper you're trying to ring up. He slapped my hand, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, okay, so everybody wants to know now, Margie, what was the outcome?
The cops took him out, and they're leaving it up to the manager to see if he's permanently banned.
Oh, okay.
And I had a meeting with him yesterday, and I said, if you don't, I'll consider leaving. And
yeah.
They need me.
Yeah.
And I said, I will not be treated that way. I'm a 66-year-old cashier who has to work because of Make America Great.
Yeah. Now, I just got to say this. If that would have been a family member of mine or even my friend such as yourself, and I'd have been there, I'd have probably had a hard time standing down on that. And I'm surprised that they're not going to press charges against him for laying his hands on you.
Maybe that's something I should do individually, but then do I create a monster coming at me.
No, you're sending sending a message that you're not going to tolerate it, and it's called establishing righteousness by drawing the lines, judgment by enforcing the commandments, yes. The law that I'm not going to tolerate this because if someone doesn't stand up against him and send the message that we're not going to tolerate this. Really what it comes down to is he's going to do it to somebody else. He's going to be more emboldened to do it to somebody else until somebody puts a stop to it. Those are my thoughts anyways.
And as being 6 foot five, a lot of little guys kind of challenge the big guys.
Oh, they do.
They're trying to pump them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it happened to my husband all the time.
Well, you know
so,
what?
I just wanted to share that.
Okay. I did want to say, though, and yep, they do want to challenge you. And, Margie, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but they do get a response. Yeah, we're not going to roll over in the face of that nonsense, especially today, friends. That only encourages the enemies. Margie, thank you for the phone call. I want to play this video for you. It is the sheriff, and I want you to check it out. This was a video that went out viral before the Minnesota State Fair. Do keep in mind his name is Sheriff Bob Fletcher, and he's also inner work. He's got inner workings with the little clown talking about short man's problem, right? Like Margie was just talking about Keith Ellison, the installed scoundrel from Michigan. He's in cahoots with him, so I want you to catch this. But again, listen to what he has to say.
But they've always agreed the fair is neutral ground. And let's all go have fun and respect the fairgrounds. We've had Hell's Outcast, Hell's Angels here. The Hell's Outcast used to hang by the pickle stand. I've been here for many, many years, but we've never had threats of violence like we're having from the Somali gangs. Well, we will have Karen gangs. We'll have some Hmong gangs here. We'll have some extremists on the right here. But none of them are promising chaos except for the Somali gangs. We sent 233 letters to kids that we know have had association with some.
Did you hear that? He said nobody's trying to create chaos more than the Somali gangs. Remember, I'm friends with law enforcement in this state, and I want you to remember what a sheriff had told me. He goes, Bradley, these people are being coached. Did you hear what I said? They're being coached to do the things that they're doing. Got another video right now. I want to play this for you. This is a Somalian. They call them skinnies. And what he's doing here, friends, is he's throwing gang signs in background of a live TV report on the Minneapolis mass shooting. Check this out. He's throwing his signs, friends. I mean, I don't know where these people, these guys coming over here into America, these little skinnies, these twigs, trying to cause trouble. They're going to get it, people.
Yeah, not
they're going to get to trouble, but they're not used to people standing up against them like in Europe. And I want to tell you why, because in Europe, they're disarmed. You do know that, right? Yeah, they're disarmed. Yeah. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I got a hard break coming up on me again. My goodness, folks, the time flies. The time flies. I just seen some people saying that they're going to be going to the Minnesota State Fair up and coming. Great. I need to get some national news out of the way here, trying to get caught up. I do want to let you know what I'm showing here in the state of Minnesota is coming to your state unless we all stand up together and put a stop to it. I also want to encourage the people to understand that the mainstream media uses a Saul Alinsky tactic. They always want to embellish numbers. For their side to try to belittle you, to basically browbeat you into submission, into causing you to believe there's a lot more of them than there really is. When I was at the Minnesota State Fair yesterday, where that warning went out by the sheriff, there was literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people there. It was all American, folks. It was all American, all diverse colors. I'll tell you what, there was probably a lot of Muslims there, but them Muslims were there to assimilate. They're not wearing the religious garb, which shows you that they're here to conquer. I only seen 8 of them in the hours that I was there at the Minnesota State Fair yesterday. So don't you dare be intimidated, Americans. Don't you dare stand down, Christians. You are called to be on the offensive. This is your home. This is your possession. And guard it and understand that you are blood-bought, and so is the possession that the Lord has bestowed upon you. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back. Sons of Liberty Radio.com.
Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed, real printed newspaper that takes on the tough issues of our day, and we don't waste time with nonsense. We have some of the best red pill writers in the country, including Bradley Dean, and we tell you the truth you need to know. It's unlike anything you've seen before. Email us to get your free sample copy. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Also, watch our TV program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central at WCNTV.net.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
In a world filled with confusion and deception, God's people need trustworthy news grounded in truth. At LibertySentinel.org, an incredible team of journalists led by me, Alex Newman, provide biblical news and analysis on faith, family, freedom, education, and the critical issues shaping our future. Join the tens of thousands of Christians who rely on our free newsletter and our news podcast to stay informed and equipped. It's all at LibertySentinel.org. That's LibertySentinel, S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L.org. Check it out today.
George Washington said, "If freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like the sheep to the slaughter." Benjamin Franklin falls in suit when he said, "Freedom of speech is a principal pillar of a free government. When this support is taken away, the constitution of a free society is dissolved and tyranny is erected on its ruins. Republics derive their strength and vigor from a popular examination into the action of the magistrates." He continues on and says, "Freedom of speech is the great bulwark of liberty. They prosper and die together, and it is the terror of traitors and oppressors and a barrier against them. I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer that I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel." Benjamin Franklin.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Okay, so let's get to this. I want to show you something here. And, boy, we're going to have a show for you on Saturday, let me tell you. Okay, so do you guys remember, just was it yesterday, I'd highlighted the fact that, and I'm not just throwing stuff out there. I never do that, friends. I never just throw stuff out there. But I do want to let you know that if you pray on the kids, I am telling you that there's a vigilante unison and network of people across the country that are not going to wait for the courts to deliver up more injustice. And the courts are losing credibility. And they have been for a long time. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because of what was going on in the Minnesota State Fair by bringing in a bunch of men that were dressed as women making a parade of the children right in front of the parents. I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not. They're trying to get to the point where they can steal away the kids from the parents. It's about usurping the parental rights. That's what this is all about. They're trying to draw the line. And when you give them over to anything and everything, they're going to feel safe enough to go ahead and kidnap your kids. And that's exactly what they're doing throughout the states. Okay, and you know what the consequence for kidnapping is, right? I'm talking about all you corrupt workers that think you're going to just go ahead and steal away kids. Death. Oh, it's a fulfillment in the New Testament in 1 Timothy 1:7, and it's a fulfillment of the Old Testament in the New Testament. So you know, okay? People aren't going to play that game, okay? But notice it's the corrupt in the halls of government that are advocating these crimes against children. Yesterday, I had played a video for you, and the video shows a little girl coming out of the girls' bathroom, and mom's in there, and what she does... And big time kudos to her, big high five. A woman walks in there and says, what are you doing? You need to get out of here. It was a full grown man in there waiting for a child to come into the bathroom so he could apprehend the child. He looks like a foreigner. Okay, this is the kind of stuff, man, we need to stand up against and be a man no matter where we're at and defend our wives and our children. Because I'm not going to sit down on this stuff, people, and nor should you, for our kids' sake. But notice it's the state that has no children that is advocating for these crimes. Well, I just want to let all you out there think that you're going to go ahead and commit crimes against children without consequence. First of all, when you look at Exodus 22, the Lord says, if they at all cry out unto me, the Lord said he would kill you with the sword. Oh, that's not the God of my Bible. No, it's not the God of your Bible. You better get a different translation because they've been watered down. But let me tell you something. It's the God of my Bible, and it's what's in my heart because his laws are written in my heart as to how to deal with this stuff. You understand? Okay? I just want to let you know, people aren't going to sit down on this. And I've told you before, what happens is when you get into jail, if you're caught, if you make it that far... Once you get to jail, you're going to meet your maker. Those soft judges slapping your hands for the 50th time and the 100th time so you can go commit a more heinous crime. Those days are over, man. They're over. Look at this. I got the real-life Dexter and the vigilante serial killer who has murdered over 47 inmates while in prison, who are either rapists, child abusers, or bad people. Why do you suppose he's inside of that prison system waiting for those pedophiles to come in and those rapists to come in? By the way, both the consequences are death because rape is the same thing as murder in the face of God. Read Numbers 35, 33. Also Deuteronomy 19, 19. Those days of making a prey of the children of this country are over. They're over. In Jesus' name. That's the God I serve. By dealing with people according to his statutes to send the message that you're not doing that here. Big time. Okay? Okay. Since we got that out of the way, where's all this idolatry coming from? Yesterday I wrote it. Paul wrote it by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in the book of Romans chapter 1. Verse 26 to the end of the chapter, which is sandwiched in between the wrath of God and how they deserve the wrath of God when they turn the living God into corruptible man and how he gives them over to a reprobate, to themselves. He turns them over to themselves. And once you get to that point, you've crossed lines, you're done. It's a point of no return. Don't tell me that's not the God of the Bible. Because there's lines with them. Look at Genesis 18, 19. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at Jude 1, 7. The Lord warns you in the New Testament as to what he'll do. And then he points his finger back to the Old Testament and says to you and me and to the bad guys, look what I did. I'll do it again. That was set forth as an example to them that should afterwards live ungodly. It's a form of idolatry. By just living unto self, doing what you want to do, rejecting the mercy and the grace of God every step of the way. Well, I can tell you when it started. Did you guys know that in this country, they began to push evolution? Whenever a government starts to put push evolution on the people, you better understand that this is the beginning days of history repeating itself. Because the government now means to put itself in the position of God. That is not this country. We do not have a monarchical system of government in this country. Article 6, Section 2, Article 2, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution, under God, is our system. And he is our God. He is our king. We have no king but King Jesus. But let me go back. In 1959, the man that was sold to you as a godly man, President Eisenhower, he asked Congress for $1 billion for the Department of Health, Education, Welfare's New American, pay attention to the word new, the Bible says, do not partake with change. Okay, go back to the old past if there's any change, not the new thing. But notice the name, Welfare's New American Education Fund for the promotion and publication of the new science. What is science? The study of creation. Isn't it interesting today how scientists want to get rid of God when they discover what the Lord created? Isn't that amazing? Do you think these things through, my friends? I hope so. $10,500,000 was given to the National Science Foundation, NSF, the acronym, for the 9-part theme curriculum teaching evolution. No wonder why the kids act the way that they act. This is in 1959. Okay, and it's really small. And it says the NSF provided biological sciences curriculum study, BCSC, with the funds to provide the textbooks to public schools. Also keep in mind, all the way up until 1962, they used to teach the young people George Washington's farewell address, where he says religion and morality are the essential pillars of civil society. They remove that. They interject or insert, should I say, the federal government does. Violates the 10th Amendment of the Bill of Rights, and people let them do it. And then they insert what? International Baccalaureate back in 1962, so they started replacing things. And then later on, you had No Child Left Unindoctrinated, where they teach the kids nobody can be better than anybody else instead of teaching them to shoot for the stars. No, now they're supposed to shoot for the floor. Then they have Common Core, where the bureaucrats, not educators, actually create the curriculum. To do what? To create confusion and division within the people. But again, sticking to the topic, evolution. Ready for this? Number of words in 1950, 2,000 to 3,000 words of evolution were in the curriculums. Illegal in the United States of America, by the way. 1963, it increased little by little, incrementally, just like the Bible says so, the incrementally when the Lord brings judgment, he incrementally brings forth a siege. That means a slow takeover. Dummy them down. Hosea 4:6. The Lord warned us of that. 1963, 33,089 words. The decline since 1963 reflects the overall downward trend of textbooks content, and the percentage of text devoted to evolution has not diminished. And if you need any source for that educational resource or research analysts, I'll give you the phone number. The number is 903-753-5993. By the way, did you know that if you find any errors in school curriculum books, did you know that you can, without a fee, have an attorney bring it to the state, and there's a certain amount of time where the state has to correct the curriculum, and if they don't, they can be charged $5,000 a day for delay. Did you know that? So everything's going for you, Americans. Oh, remember I was just talking about those scientists? You know, those scientists who love to create what God, or I'm sorry, that love to take upon themselves. They love to accredit themselves. They love to boast in the things that they've discovered that my Father has created. And then what they do is they kick the Lord to the curb somehow. And then people look at them like, oh, they're just intellectual giants. No, no, no. They discovered something the Lord created. And look at the intellectual giants that the mainstream media promotes today and over the last 30 years. the most dense individuals you will ever meet in all of your life. The Bible says the fool has said in their heart that there is no God. They do abominable things. And guess what, friends? They do, as I've showed you over the last 3 days. I'm going to come back on the other side of this heartbreak. Do forgive me, friends. I mean, this is the fastest hour on national radio. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to highlight some of the things that scientists have told you. And for anybody to believe it, well, that's on you. I'm not going to name call. I'm not going to demean you. I'm not going to take shots at you. I'll just let the words that I'm going to share with the people do the work that they're intended to do. But I'll tell you what, man, what I'm going to highlight next is like these individuals foaming out their shame. It's like they're not embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for them. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, 281-845-4704. Again, be right back.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
My name is Lisa Mead, and I live in Farragut, Tennessee. I've been in church my entire life, and I feel like the church has changed, but God's Word has not changed. The church service that Bradley Dean leads every Sunday morning is a breath of fresh air. He teaches the entire Bible, and his teaching from God's Word magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Each Sunday, my husband and I look forward to the church service because Bradley honors Jesus by speaking truth that all of us need to hear. I don't want to be entertained, but need to hear the truth of God's Word. I'm so grateful and thankful to be part of the church family. Bradley's message through the Holy Spirit leads me to my Savior, Jesus Christ, and there's no better place to be. Thank you, Bradley, for answering God's call to lead the church service so that people will hear the truth that is so desperately needed today.
BBSRadio.com.
Now we can understand where Harry S. Truman got his understanding from when he said, "The fundamental basis of this nation's law was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings which we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul." This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio. Wow. Again, my goodness, folks. You know, I would have done a 3-hour radio program, which would have been, I'd have a lot more radio shows if I did. But it's important for me to be out there. Speaking of which, if you want to book us, we got the 3 months open in front of us right now. After the Minnesota State Fair, we're all ready to go again. I do know that we got an event coming up in this month of September in Princeton, Minnesota. But from that point on, folks, it's the calendar's wide open for 3 months. If you want to book us, 1-866 1-866-233-0747. 1-866-233-0747. Okay, so let me get over to this real quick because I got an audio piece I want you to hear, which is extraordinary. It really is, because I love when smart people, that you know, those that think that they're intellectual giants, you know, they don't understand that God speaks to the heart, not the head. The head thinkers, right? I love when they dissect things and then it falls into their heart and they say, how could it be otherwise? Well, let's listen to an atheist in just a moment here, and he's going to share with you his findings, which completely converted him. He stepped into it, and the Lord saved him. Okay? So with that, pretty cool stuff. The Heidelberg man, built from a jawbone that was conceded by many to be quite human. This is science. It's all lies. Modern science. Nebraska man, scientifically built up from one tooth, and later found to be the tooth of an extinct pig. No joke. And this is the garbage that's being thrown down on kids. And I'm not laughing at that. I'm just laughing at the fact that anybody would even believe this. Piltdown man. Here's another one. Listen to these names. The jawbone turned out to belong to a modern ape. Of course. What about Peking man? You know, they say 500,000 years old. All evidence has disappeared. How convenient. By the way, the Earth is 6,000 years old. Isn't it interesting how they subject kids to, like, movies like Jurassic Park? Which, by the way, I used to think those were fun. But when you start listening to what they're doing, they're dropping seeds into the hearts and minds of the young people and old alike. You know, one time you'll see part one and it talks about, you know, the beginning of the Jurassic Park, for example. It talks about 3 million years ago. And then it'll go to another portion of the movie. And then it talks about 30 million years ago. And then it talks about six. Hey, folks, these are the people that are telling you that these things took place 30 million years ago. We didn't exist. Nothing existed during that particular time, but I want you to contemplate something. These are the same people, through their meteorologist concerning DARPA, that can't even predict or tell you what the weather's going to be accurately for the day. And they want to tell you what happened 300 million years ago? You believe that? Okay, that's all on you. That's all on you, not on me, right? Pretty crazy. Again, people sit around and make these names up. Nathaniel man. At the International Congress of Zoology in 1958, Dr. A.J.E., but probably funded by the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds, said his examination showed that the famous Neanderthal skeleton found in France over 50 years ago is that of an old man who suffered from arthritis. Okay. How about Cro-Magnon man? Yes. Look at these names, folks. I mean, they probably all got their comic books in their own version of Marvel or DC comic, right? One of the earliest and best established fossils is at least equal in physique and brain capacity as modern man. So what's the difference? What about modern man? Here, this genius thinks without God, you know, as Whitfield rightly said, man without the grace of God, left to himself, is half beast, half devil. Oh, my goodness. He's worse than that, okay? He really is, without the grace of God. That's why we need a Savior to save us from ourselves, Matthew 1:21. Modern man, this genius thinks we came from a monkey. No, the people have allowed these people to teach their kids that they came from monkeys. Then they wonder why their kids act like monkeys, right? Romans 1:22 tells us, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I want to play this video for you of an atheist. He'll tell you the story. Listen up, folks. This is fantastic. It really is.
Journey to disprove the Bible.
Yeah.
Got married. So this man was on a journey to disprove the Bible. That was his objective. Listen to what happens.
Young, and it was an atheist. My wife was an agnostic. She didn't know what to believe. And she came up to me one day and gave me the worst news any atheist husband could get. She said, I've become a Christian. I thought, oh, great. You know, now she's going to start judging me. Now she's going to try to get me not to hang out with my friends. Now she's going to make the kids think that there's something wrong with me because I don't believe in God. I thought, I just saw trouble on the horizon. And I thought, I got to get my marriage back together here. How do I do that? Well, wait a minute. There's an easy way. All I have to do is disprove Christianity. You know, I went to Yale Law School. I understand what evidence is. Take me a long weekend, maybe a three-day weekend, and I'm sure I can poke enough holes in Christianity that it would fall apart. And so I thought I could disprove it. I ended up spending a year and 9 months taking my journalism training, my legal training, and probing the historical data concerning the resurrection of Jesus mainly. Because even as an atheist, I understood everything depends on whether Jesus returned from the dead or not. Because clearly, Jesus made transcendent and messianic and divine claims about himself. He claimed he was the Son of God. At one point, he gets up before a group of people, and he says, I and the Father are one. And the word in Greek there for one is not masculine, it's neuter, which means Jesus was not saying, I and the Father are the same person. He was saying, I and the Father are the same thing. We're one in nature. We're one in essence. And the audience got it. They said, oh, you're a man and you're claiming to be God. So they were going to kill him for claiming to be God. Well, he claimed to be God, but so what? I could claim to be God. Everybody could claim that they're God. But if Jesus claimed to be God, died, and then 3 days later rose from the dead, that's pretty good evidence he's telling the truth. So I was stunned because I did not expect there to be any historical validity to the fact that Jesus died on a cross and rose from the dead. But I can summarize it really quickly, what I found, using four words that begin with the letter E. That way people can remember. Because remember, it's Christmas. The reason Jesus came was Easter, the resurrection. How do we know it's true? Four words that begin with the letter E. Execution. Jesus was dead after being crucified. I thought maybe he survived, and the cool, damp air of the tomb resuscitated him. That's what I thought. No, we have no record anywhere of anyone surviving a full Roman crucifixion. Anywhere.
Amen.
Not only do we have multiple accounts in the documents of the New Testament that tell us that Jesus was dead after being crucified, we've got five ancient sources outside the Bible that talk about him being dead.
What are those sources?
Oh, like Josephus, Tacitus. These are early historians. Maribar Serapion, Lucian. Even the Jewish Talmud admits that Jesus was executed. So Jesus was clearly dead. In fact, get this. The Journal of the American Medical Association, a secular, scientific, peer-reviewed medical journal, carried an investigation into the death of Jesus. And this was their conclusion, quote, clearly, the weight of the historical and medical evidence indicates that Jesus was dead even before the wound to his side was inflicted. That's the Journal of the American Medical Association. You could go to an atheist New Testament scholar like Gerd Ludemann, and he will tell you the death of Jesus on the cross by crucifixion is historically indisputable. That's the atheist speaking. So the first E is for execution. Jesus was dead. The second E stands for early reports that he rose from the dead.
Is this fantastic,
people? In other
words, reports
that didn't come after decades of legendary development, but go right back to the cross itself. In other words, I used to think as a skeptic, okay, I got to give you the fact Jesus was dead. Get it. But the resurrection is a legend. And I knew it took time for legend to develop in the ancient world. Well, what I learned is that we have a report of the resurrection of Jesus, including named eyewitnesses and groups of eyewitnesses that said he died. Why? For our sins. He was buried. On the third day, he rose from the dead. And these eyewitnesses, groups of eyewitnesses and individuals, this report has been dated back by scholars to within months of his death.
Wow.
Within months. Yeah, wow. It's about the resurrection of Jesus. Who wrote First Corinthians?
Okay, so you guys are getting the point here, right? What's fantastic about this, friends, is intellectuals, they want to go through all of this methodically. And it's fantastic. I think that way too. I have to dig in deep. I have to go and pull the layers back. I got to see what's really in there. And I got to know for myself the truth of the matter. But what's interesting about it is he was set on a course to prove and disprove, Christianity. Like so many others, only to find themselves becoming Christians. Only to find out that what has been said and what is written in the Word of God is absolutely true. Folks,
It's absolutely true. If it wasn't, we wouldn't be here right now. And if it wasn't for God, by the way, there would be no atheists, right? Because God created all of us. So atheists, listen to what I just said and repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Love you by what we do. See ya.